cigarette break. It's like 10,000 spoons when all you need is a knife. It's meeting the man of my dreams and then meeting his beautiful wife. And isn't it ironic? Don't you think? A little too ironic. And yeah, I really do think.
WRPQ Baraboo.
W279 EG Reedsburg.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Biden said the risk to national security and the critical supply chain is why he's blocking Nippon Steel's proposed purchase of U.S. Steel. ABC's Mary Bruce has more from the White House.
U.S. Steel, of course, the iconic Pennsylvania-based company, had argued the merger would provide critical funding to keep plants open and preserve thousands of jobs, but the union resisted the deal, saying it was bad for their workers. Now, President-elect Trump had also opposed the takeover.
The president-elect supports House Speaker Mike Johnson ahead of today's vote for Speaker. Johnson tells ABC he's confident he'll win on the first ballot, but ABC News has counted at least 17 Republicans not committing to supporting Johnson. The Surgeon General's released a report calling for stronger warning labels on alcohol to highlight the link between alcohol consumption and cancer. Bourbon Street's reopened for business, but the warnings have gone out from the FBI about potential for copycat vehicle attacks like the one on New Year's Day. This is ABC News.
Now this news update from Wisconsin Radio Network. I'm Tad Allen. Staff of the Wisconsin Elections Commission will be investigating nearly 200 uncounted absentee ballots in Madison. During a special meeting Thursday, Commission Chair Ann Jacobs made the case, citing the seriousness of what happened and the fact that the elections agency wasn't notified in a timely fashion. Juneau County deputies have released more photos of a triple homicide suspect. Surveillance footage shows 47-year-old Virgil Thew inside a new Lisbon Dollar General store Sunday. That was hours before three people were found dead inside of a home in New Lisbon. And the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection is accepting applications for the 78th Allison Dairyland until January 31st. Allison Dairyland travels extensively promoting the agriculture industry and its impact on Wisconsin's economy. More information can be found at the DATCAP website. Tad Allen, Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Max FM Weather, sponsored by Davis Home Furnishings and Flooring of Reedsburg. Stop in for all your furniture, flooring, and blind needs. See us at 2543 East Main Street in Reedsburg.
Max FM, Gem City Weather.
A little breezy this morning, partly cloudy and cold today. We'll get to 17 for a high, but the wind northwest to 10 to 20 is going to keep that wind chill factor hovering either side of zero all day long. Tonight, mostly clear, 3 above tomorrow, sunshine, high of 16. Stop paying too much for health insurance. Call this number for better rates and coverage, 800-693-9308, 800-693-9308. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 11.
99.7 Max FM. Maximum hits 99.7 Max FM. It is 8:04 on Friday morning. It's a little chilly out there, but just make sure you have that warm coat. You'll be all set to go. Here's Journey Separate Ways on Max FM.
Losing ground, I'm reaching for you, you.
90s and more.
That's the power of love.
99.7 Max FM.
Some of them want to get used by you.
Maximum hits of the 80s, 90s, and more. 99.7 Max FM. 8:12 on Friday morning. The Eurythmics. Sweet dreams. And you know, one of my sweet dreams, Emily, is always food. I mean, I'm not even going to kid
that about you, Dave. I mean, all of us out there who are humans are people that appreciate food. Like, we'll just, like, I mean, it happens, right? You get hungry, you want to eat, but there's different levels of appreciation. Sometimes people just eat because they're hungry. Sometimes people like to cook. Sometimes, you know, there's so many levels in which to appreciate food. So our family is definitely, we like to cook, we like to create, we like to be creative in the kitchen. Lots of side businesses that have been developed around food. So we right. also appreciate food. So there's something coming up in Baraboo that's new.
This is food, right? Exciting. I love it. And that's, we've been kind of just kind of, you know, one of the things we do during breaks is you and I chat back and forth. We look at things that are going on. And this is something we want to get on everyone's calendar because this is something you're not going to want to miss. It is going to be presented by Downtown Baraboo. It is going to be Downtown Baraboo's Restaurant Week. Savor the flavor of Baraboo January 18th through the 26th, Emily.
So exciting. So Restaurant Week is something that occurs in cities throughout the country. And I think it's just kind of spread its wings into, you know, our community as well. So Restaurant Week is super exciting. One thing that I appreciate, and every city does it different, right? So I can't speak to how this is going to go because this is the very first one. So we don't even have like hot topic of the list of restaurants that are going to be on Restaurant Week. But essentially the idea, right, is that there's a focus on specific restaurants. I'm not sure how they get into Restaurant Week, if there's like auditions or if you have to like show up at a certain time or how you get on the list. But that's not anything we have to worry about.
Nope.
Basically, the restaurant gets focused on. Yeah, that's not our job. The restaurant itself gets focused on. And the reason and the way that they do that is because they come up with special menus, special offerings, special deals, special highlights of their foods and their unique restaurant offerings throughout the week of, quote, Restaurant Week. So it also is a way that you can, as a consumer and an eater out there, go out and find kind of, sometimes there, you know, again, I don't know how Baraboo was going to do this, but there's opportunity to buy like a package. So you get to hit up like 2, 3, 4 different restaurants throughout the week and kind of create your whole meal plan around the restaurants that are featured for Restaurant Week. So it's totally like a way to just kind of eat your way through the week and also really like support your small businesses and restaurants, because that is a hard ticket. Running a restaurant is no joke.
Yes,
so
it is.
Show these folks your support during Restaurant Week, because it is a way for them to really show what they do and highlight themselves. It's really cool.
And one thing that we see here is that's kind of cool. It says retrieve an exclusive menu passport at participating stops beginning January 18th. Now, I did reach out as you and I are sitting here talking. This is multitasking at its finest. This list is being finalized over the weekend. So we will know more next week about this, Emily. So we're going to keep tabs on this because we saw this coming through and we're like, we got to talk about it. So we will know more after this weekend, but we at least want to get Baraboo Restaurant Week on your calendar starting January 18th. I love food. I did a lot of stuff in the restaurants back in the day, and I'm excited about this. This is a first-time opportunity in Baraboo. That is so cool.
Yeah, I'm excited too, and I'm just going to put a little note out there for the morning show. If any of the restaurants that are on this list, you know, would like to see some local radio personalities show up during Restaurant Week, I'm sure we'd be more than happy to show up. So just let us know.
Yeah, let us know
if you want Dave and Emily there to like promote. We'll do whatever you want. Shameless self-promotion in order to come to your restaurant, and we'll promote you all day.
Yeah, exactly.
Not sure how that's all going to play out, but I'm just going to offer that up on the air because I can. So there
because
you go.
We like food, you know. So
because we like food and we're funny.
You are participating in this. Get in contact with us because we definitely want to make this succeed in Baraboo. So, Emily, you're going to be back shortly because we're going to talk about calendar days next because we have Havel already waiting in the wings this morning.
All right. We better get through this. We'll see you in a minute.
Yeah, we'll see you in just a minute. We're going to talk calendar days shortly. More music mornings with Dave and Emily on Max FM.
Community First Bank is your bank for business. Our business bankers have the financial know-how to get you on the path to a bright future. From business checking to loans, online banking to treasury services, CFB's business banking solutions create more convenience, save more money, and protect you from fraud. Get more from your business banking relationship. See a business banker at Community First Bank.
Community First Bank is first for you. CFBank.com. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Here's a look at some of the upcoming area events brought to you by Community First Bank. On Saturday, join the friends of Mirror Lake State Park at the Winter Recreation and Picnic Area for a torch-lit hike or ski through the woods. They'll have an easy one-mile trail lit for hikers and snowshoers and another easy one-mile trail for skiers. Sleds are allowed on the hiking and snowshoeing trail. When you are not on the trails, you can enjoy some goodies and hot chocolate provided by the friends and stay warm around roaring bonfires. This event is free, but you will need a state park sticker to enter the park. You can find all the details at friendsofmirrorlake.org. Again, this event is on Saturday from 6 p.m. until 8 p.m. It's a candlelight ski, hike, and snowshoe event at Mirror Lake State Park. And after the holiday break, it's a great week of events at the Carnegie Shoddy Memorial Public Library. Coming up on Monday, January 6th, it's an opportunity to read with Cookie, the registered therapy dog. Each reader will have 10 minutes to read a story with the sweet furry pal. All readers must be accompanied by an adult to participate in this event. That will be on Monday the 6th from 6 until 7 p.m. They'll also then have their Lullaby Club event on Tuesday, Story Tots Picture Book Party on January 8th, and the Improv Lab will have their Improv Show. That's going to be on Thursday the 9th from 6 until 7:30 p.m. Check out their website for all the details and future events.
Some things are worth waiting for. The cable guy isn't one of them. U.S. Cellular's home internet is so simple to install, you can do it yourself. Fast 5G home internet for $39.99 per month when bundled with a wireless plan with a 3-year price lock guarantee. No waiting, no appointment windows, just home internet made simple. U.S. Cellular, built for us.
Terms apply. See cellplus.com for details. By far the best deal for home internet. Plus, for a limited time, get a free router. Visit your local U.S. Cellular agent in Baraboo, the Dells, and Reedsburg.
Today's Max FM big deal of the day. Remedy Me IV Therapy and Wellness in Sauk City. Get ready for a healthy new you in the new year. IV therapy can supercharge your energy levels, improve dehydration, help with migraines, pain relief, and more. Remedy Me IV provides medical weight loss, IV hydration, and vitamin injections, and an oxygen bar. They are available for group events as well. Go to MaxFMBigDeals.com and purchase $40 gift certificates for just $20. Today only at MaxFM Big Deals.
Shake face and loose and loose. Shake it, shake it, baby doll. Shake it on the floor. Get on the floor.
Nine seven Max FM. Dave and Emily with you. 8:23 on Friday morning. That's Outkast. Hey, Emily, the reason I'm giggling is I was singing along with this a little bit. Realized my microphone was on, and a former coworker actually did that. We have a recording of him singing along to the song.
I love that. I love that. Yeah. I mean, that's a hard, it's a silly and wonderful song. So it's so easy to sing and dance along with that one. That I have a lot of great memories attached to that song. I'm glad you played that. When I saw that on the list, I was like, Outkast. Okay. Happy Friday.
Yeah. Dave may or may not be messing with the playlist again today.
Well, we'll just go ahead and move on through that. That's
yeah,
where
we're moving along.
Schmooze.
January 3rd, 2025. And we're going to talk calendar days, and there's some cool ones in here, and one of my favorites is it's Women Rock Day. So prepare to headbang to oblivion in honor of the women who rocked rock and roll.
Can we say Pat Benatar Heart? Let's see.
Right?
So many. I can't, yeah.
So many.
And then,
I mean there's
get to the,
so
like, newer ones.
Many. And Pat Benatar is one that definitely comes to mind. I mean, that is just, and you know, it just, this makes my day to see this one today. So another
Me
one
too.
Is
too. I'm glad you brought that up first, because you know how I feel about rock and roll women. They're just awesome, and like everybody's got the spirit, and it's just a good thing to stand up and say, yeah, they rock.
They do. Enough said. It's also National Right to Congress Day. So, you know, Congress represents us, so you should write them to remind them of that today. Emily, what else do you see on our list today for January 3rd?
Well, bringing it back to what we did on Monday. I think it was Monday or Tuesday. Talking about fruitcake. I don't know what day of the week it was, but it's the fruitcake toss day. If you're not going to eat that fruitcake, you might as well toss it. So don't toss Dave out the window. Choose
Whoa.
The real fruitcake, the food. Just kidding.
Well played, my fellow fruitcake.
Okay. All right. It is Friday. Anyway, moving on to something a little softer. It's International Mind Body Wellness Day. January 3rd is International Mind Body Wellness Day, an opportunity to celebrate how a healthy mind and healthy emotions means a healthy body. This is so true. It's all so much more connected than people ever realize. There's so many studies coming on about that, how stress like sits in your muscles and mm-hmm. all this stuff. So they don't roll separately, just like the knee bone's connected to the ankle bone. That's not right. There's a thing in between there. Anyways, just like that, that's literally mind, emotion, body, all of that. It's like a triangle, and pay attention to all of them, because when one of them is out of sync, the other ones can kind of kick in and help get everything back in balance. So focus on that today. It's a good thing to wrap your head around that. Another one I see, J.R.R. Tolkien Day. It's the Lord of the Rings. He's the Lord of all things, Lord of the Rings. He is obviously the author of that series. It is his birthday today. We mentioned that earlier. And you're encouraged to toast him in celebration and or, you know, go lay down and read some Hobbit. Like, whatever. That's always something to do in a winter day, because it takes forever to get through that book, even though it's fantastic.
Yes, it does. Some time. And by the way, the knee bone is connected to the thigh bone.
Thank you. Okay.
I wasn't singing it, just in case anyone was curious. So
it's also National Chocolate Covered Cherry Day. Sorry, I had to get that one in there.
I know you did. I saw that one too. That one excites me a lot. And I see that picture of it. It makes me hungry. And then the last one I saw on our list is National Drinking Straw Day. And they're showing a paper straw in there because those are a lot better for the environment. But unfortunately, they do get a little bit soggy as well. So I just forego the straw.
I do too. Now I just forego the straw too. Like when the paper straws came out, I was really proud of that movement. And then I was like, oh, I don't like these. So then I just no straw. No straw. Just drink it out of the glass. It's fine. That's better anyways. So yeah, that's okay. But enjoy your straws. Straws are fun and they're pretty, and they can like dress up a drink or dress up whatever, like a chocolate milk cup for your kid or whatever. So straws are fun. But yeah, keep away from that plastic if you can.
Yeah, exactly.
Today. There's a lot of fun ones. Oh, Festival of Sleep Day. Let's put that one out there. Cancel those plans and plump your pillow. We've got the dreamiest ideas for catching some Z's. So if you need some downtime or later after work tonight, you know, it's going to be cold. So just get back in bed, get on your couch with a soft blanket, whatever it is that you do to be cozy and get yourself rested enough to fall asleep and get a good night's sleep. I would suggest that tonight for sure.
Most definitely. Well, Emily, thank you for being back with us. You'll be back with us on Monday. And a little hint of things to come. We're going to talk about, is it time to take those holiday decorations down?
We'll see. I'm sure there'll be some controversy out there. So I look forward to that. We'll see who between the two of us has taken their stuff down.
Yeah, that'll be very interesting because, we'll just leave it at that. I'm not going to go any further in that one. So join us on Monday morning, 7:10 for that. So, Emily, I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Yep. Happy weekend out there to everybody listening. We appreciate you. Stay warm, stay safe, and we'll see you Monday.
Happy Friday. We will see you Monday. Coming up next, we're going to take a look at weather. We're going to have Van Halen, and then we're going to have Hanging with Havel. More Music Mornings with Dave and Emily on Max FM.
Max FM, Gem City Weather.
A little breezy this morning, partly cloudy and cold today. We'll get to 17 for a high, but the wind northwest to 10 to 20 is going to keep that wind chill factor hovering either side of zero all day long. Tonight, mostly clear, 3 above tomorrow, sunshine, high of 16. Stop paying too much for health insurance. Call this number for better rates and coverage. 800-693-9308. 800-693-9308. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 11.
99.7 Max FM.
80s, 90s, and more.
99.7 Max FM.
It's time for Hanging with Hovel here on Max FM. I'm Maddie Jones. Chris Hovel, our Packers expert, is going to join us in just moments. We're getting ready for the last NFL game of the season, or at least the regular season, the Green Bay Packers versus the Chicago Bears. Hanging with Hovel here on Max FM is brought to you by Tricor Insurance.
Oakwood Fruit Farm wants to thank everyone for another incredible season. As the farm closes its doors for the year, they'd like to express their gratitude for your support and remind you how much they value being a part of your traditions. From everyone at Oakwood Fruit Farm, happy holidays. They look forward to welcoming you back next fall for more fresh fruit, family fun, and wonderful memories. Oakwood Fruit Farm, where every season brings something special. See you next year.
Oakwood Fruit Farms, that's the one for family fun. Oakwood Fruit Farms, that's the one for...
From small-town businesses to large multi-state operations, Tricor Insurance and Auto Owners Insurance have industry expertise that can cover all types of businesses.
Having an insurance agency that understands our business is a real benefit. They know our people. It's something Tricor does really well.
Tricor's in-depth knowledge of insurance, regulation, compliance, and safety consulting is here to help your business succeed. Working with leading insurance companies like Auto Owners Insurance, they'll be there when you need them most. Visit TricorInsurance.com to learn more about Tricor Insurance Cycle of Care.
It's time for Hanging with Hovel here on Max FM. Chris Hovel, our Packers expert, joins us for a sixth NFL season. He is a two-time national best-selling author who has covered the Packers since before Brett Favre's first start, then as a sports columnist at the Green Bay Press Gazette, and now in his 24th season as the host of Sportsline, 4 to 6 afternoons on WDUZ The Fan. Hanging with Hovel on Max FM is brought to you by Tricor Insurance. Good morning, Chris, and Happy New Year. I know we're a couple days past, but I haven't talked to you since 2025 came around. So
I know, 2025.
I know.
Try to get my mind wrapped around that. Back in the old day when people would write checks, you know, invariably put the wrong year on it.
Yeah.
Oh, got to scratch that
yeah.
out. But it's a nice adjustment. Packers, good season.
Yes.
Not a great season, but there is everything still to play for and everything in front of them once they get past these Chicago Bears on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I had a really good Happy New Year, and so we'll
good.
For the best year all season. Good stuff.
Yeah, well, let's start with some of the news that we got this week on the Green Bay Packers, because you and I for the last few weeks have been talking about this Jair Alexander situation and what possibly went wrong, why he was taken out of a game after 10 snaps. In fact, it was the last Bears game on October 27th, and he played 10 snaps. He was taken out. We haven't seen Jair since. He'd be at practice, and then when it would come to the final injury report, Jair would be ruled out. And so finally this week, they have told the public that Jair will, in fact, be having surgery on that knee. There was some swelling, some things that the doctors weren't happy with, that Jair wasn't happy with, how things were feeling, how things were going. So his season is inevitably shut down. Now, here's what I'm going to say. You and I have lamented a little bit about the fact that we're kind of in the boat that Jair has played his last snap in Green Bay. I don't think we ever see him in a Green Bay Packers uniform ever again. But more importantly, what does this mean for the defense? I mean, they're a top 10 defense without him. So do you see much of a change for this adjustment without Jair Alexander on the field at all for the rest of the season?
Well, I think two moves. One with Jair Alexander. Since he's been out, Packers defense has gotten better. I mean,
yeah.
The Packers have gotten better overall as a team, to be sure, but they still have a ways to go yet. But defensively, they've gotten better, and it was kind of a two-pronged move. You had Preston Smith moving on and trying to get that pass rush generated that way. And then on the back end, it's just pretty much Carrington Valentine and Eric Stokes with Jair out. Now, complicated because of Evan Williams' absence and all
mm-hmm.
that, but they have been in this position before, not just not having Jair Alexander this season or recently, but last year they had to win a game at Minnesota to get into the playoffs.
Yeah.
And Corey Ballantyne played a ton, and he played quite a bit during the playoffs as well. And the reality was they blew out the Cowboys. Jair Alexander's pick six might have been a big, big reason why. On the other hand, maybe it was just a day they were going to blow the Cowboys out no matter what. Because
maybe it was a just badly thrown ball and any of the CBs would have come down with it that day.
Well, there's that too. And then the fact was the following week they weren't good enough against the Niners. And
yeah.
That was again with Jair Alexander. So when they don't have Jair Alexander, when he is right, they are a lesser defense. There's no question about that. On the other hand, when has he been right? 34
yeah.
games of the last 68, exactly half. And you think about, you know, Alexander, he played his last game in a Packers uniform. Frankly, I got to try to look it up. I mean, not because of what I do, but most people. Anyway, when was his last game in Green
Bay?
You know, it's been so long. And the arthroscopic surgery he underwent on Tuesday, they had to clean it up. And while they were cleaning up the pre-snaps and penalties and all the drop passes, they should have maybe been cleaning up Alexander's knee way back when, 6 weeks, eight weeks ago. And maybe he'd be available now because the timeline they give, you know, might be back in time for the Super Bowl, which is kind of whistling past the cemetery. But, that calls into question then, do the Packers miscalculate on this? On the other hand, with Alexander's knee, but I don't want to allege any kind of misdiagnosis or malpractice. On the other hand, you know, they had a 50-50 toss, coin toss on what to do with Alexander. You rest, rehab, go the way they did, or you just go under the knife right away. And now people, it's easy to say, well, yeah, should have had this arthroscopic surgery then, but the player doesn't want to go under the knife of the surgery if they can avoid it at all. That's just career, and I got to respect that. On the other hand, if that arthroscopic surgery didn't go well or as planned, oh, man, you should have just let him rest and rehab because, you know, it wasn't as bad as everybody thought, apparently.
Yeah.
So I think the fact that he went 10 snaps, tried to go on it, couldn't, should have been the gauge in my layman's way of thinking that this is pretty serious. You might have to get something corrected. But anyway, we move on without Jair Alexander. And the contractually, I mean, I wouldn't pay the guy whatever it is, $19 million, $17 million next year to play eight or nine games. No way.
You got to think that if he stays in Green Bay, some deal will be made where it's your availability gets you paid. We've seen the Packers do this before. Of course, Jair is also one of the best corners in the league when he is healthy. So you got to think that if they decide to cut ties, the market's going to be good for Jair Alexander. I would assume.
He'll get paid. Man, you know that if you were dead on with that. For sure, he's going to get paid. It just won't be in Green Bay.
Yeah, and we'll see. We'll see what happens. I mean, maybe they'll commit to him. The Green Bay Packers usually in situations like this like to cut and run, and not in a bad way, but it's to get healthy guys on the field because this was a position that they didn't realize they were, because you can't really predict, right? Going into a season, you have no idea if a position's going to be decimated or not. The cornerback position for the Green Bay Packers was decimated this year, and the guys who have been basically, you know, challenged to step up, I wouldn't say it's been the best performance we've seen out of the defense, right? I think there are players who have played much better in their respective positions than maybe the cornerback room. But as we talked about a few weeks ago, you can't rebuild every position every offseason. So you got to think that maybe this coming offseason, the cornerback position will get a little bit more attention from Brian Gutekunst. At least that would be my gut feeling.
I think you're going to be dead right because you can't give it less attention than they did.
Right.
And the thing with Alexander, I mean, perpetually iffy is just no way to go through an NFL season. And, you know, I think of where they were at, the statistics, and I see some being trotted out there, and I'm sure you've seen similar, where, boy, the Packers' defensive passer rating and their numbers with Alexander, without Alexander. Well, I hate to tell people, and my partner this afternoon trotted it out, he didn't play against the Vikings twice and the Lions twice. Well, what do you think their passer rating is going to be in games that he didn't play in?
Right.
I mean, they won pretty much all the other ones without him, so, you know. I can't have a guy playing eight games a season, and the numbers are skewed. And frankly, I don't know if he's ever going to return to that top-notch form.
I mean, Jair is not – this is a young man's game, right? We all know this. And Jair, in terms of football, he's not a young man anymore. He would be – I don't want to say at the end of his career, but he's at the middle towards the end.
Well, he'll turn 28 Super Bowl Sunday, his birthday, February 9th. So he's almost 28 now, and you're getting up in 30 for corner speed and all of that. You know, you're right. It is, and the Packers are a young team. And frankly, Kenny Clark, Rashawn Gary, and Jair Alexander, the three studs, high paid, all have been disappointing. Now, the hope is Rashawn Gary, now that he's been voted to the Pro Bowl, will realize other people view me as a Pro Bowl player. Maybe I better start picking it
up
a little bit.
Isn't that crazy? That is crazy to me that after all of these weeks of us sitting here talking about the fact that the pass rush is not there and Rashawn Gary kind of disappears in big games, he's voted to the Pro Bowl. Now, I will say that Xavier McKinney and Josh Jacobs also going to the Pro Bowl representing the Green Bay Packers. Not bad if you're Brian Gutekunst looking at your offseason free agents.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think with Sean Gary, the crazy thing there is it's reputation from last year, maybe to
right.
this year. But you talk about really unearned incentives, like the Pro Bowl bonus with Sean Gary's going to get.
Right?
Really? And now his agent will come in there and say, hey, he was a Pro Bowl guy. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay. The Pro Bowl always feels like a popularity contest to me, but that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, all pros the real deal.
And yes, absolutely.
Who know what they're doing, vote on it and all of that. But anyway.
Josh Myers is an alternate. That's all you need to know. And he's the 38th mm-hmm. out of 42 centers in the league. That's all you need to know, that he's an alternate for the Pro Bowl, about the popularity of how this whole voting system works. Now, with that all being said, let's turn to the Bears, because it is the final game of the season. As we all know, the Bears were eliminated from any sort of playoff contention a few weeks ago. And speaking of contentious, it's been a little contentious in Chicago. I mean, they fired their offensive coordinator early in the season, right before the Packers and the Bears played last time around. And then a couple weeks later, they went ahead and they fired their head coach. I mean, do they have anything left to play for? Is it just playing foil and spoil to the Green Bay Packers? Is that what Sunday is about for them?
Well, it's interesting, because we asked the Bears expert on our trip around the NFC North earlier, you know, yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and his thought about it was not much. I mean, you can kid yourself in thinking Caleb Williams, Rome Odunze, some of the promising young players, and Williams is going to play, and he should play.
Yes.
There'd be no reason that he would sit.
Agreed.
That I could ever imagine. So in terms of certain individual players, yeah, but really it's all about the next hire. And I think they're looking at it from that viewpoint. Of course, the draft, they're going to have to get an offensive lineman right away, I would think, or D-line, either one. One to beef to one side, or the O-line to protect Caleb Williams going forward, because the offensive line, he said basically four out of the five starters, other than Darnell Wright, could all be gone or replaced. So
that's a lot of bodies to fill, and big bodies. And we all know that the big bodies up front on both sides of the ball are not the easy positions to find, right?
I mean you can't go to any YMCA noon ball and find a 6'2", 300-pound guy who can really run.
Right.
But, you know, the other thing he said, though, their mood in the locker room, for the first time, it seems like the fever has broken, finally, where the 10 straight losses, but guys were pretty chipper in the locker room this week. Smiles around, and yeah, they can see
the light at the end of the tunnel. That's what that's all about. Now, there's also been speculation around the league, too, that if they're paying any sort of attention, that Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator from the Lions, is being pegged for this Chicago job. That should make Caleb Williams smile, if there's any truth to that whatsoever, because we've seen what Ben Johnson is capable of doing with an offense. Just look at what the Lions have put up for numbers for the last couple of years. Now, again, whether there's any truth to that or not, it's too early to speculate, but that seems to be a big connection that people are already starting to make in the world of the NFL.
Certainly Ben Johnson with the Lions, creative as can be, and that would be one thing. I don't know if his loyalty to Dan Campbell he could have had a head coaching job a year ago if he wanted one. To stay for this season.
Two years
he could have, done that. To be that patient and stay and hang with Campbell and see it through. Do you really want to go against that guy twice every season? Maybe they're competitors, doesn't matter, and all of that. But I think all things being equal, Ben Johnson would prefer to go maybe somewhere else, as long as you've got a quarterback he can work with, I would think would be the big caveat. But either he or Brian Flores are being talked about. Cliff Kingsbury on the outside a little bit, because he and Caleb Williams were together at USC for a bit.
Yeah.
So, but I really, when you think about it, I don't know how. If you're the Bears and you hire a defensive-minded head coach like Matt Eberflus, that's his area of expertise.
That doesn't really help Caleb Williams, does it?
Well, my first question is, who are you hiring as an offensive coordinator?
Right.
And maybe you should hire them as the head coach.
Yeah.
So I'm going an offensive, you know, I'm going Liam Cohen from the Buccaneers.
Sure.
Ben Johnson from the Lions. And I think it's going to be a fairly quick move. I mean, if they go, you know, digging back into the old retread bag, Pete Carroll, Rex Ryan, by all means.
Yeah, those are names that have also been floated around. I think they're probably, if you want to stick with this NFC North, as far as ingenuity goes and what these teams are creating and what these clubs themselves are creating, I think you got to go somebody younger. Now, I will say this personally, as a Green Bay Packers fan, I am hoping Ben Johnson goes far, far away from the NFC North, Brian Flores as well. And that's saying that with all sorts of respect, because I don't want to see the Packers go against those two coaches twice in one year.
No. I mean, right now, if you look in the division, the Packers were just a blocked field goal at the gun away from not having a division win.
Yeah.
Possibly 0-6, you know, depending on Sunday's games, which is just unheard of to be 11-5 and to be that. But that you got a couple of coaches, and Campbell and Kevin O'Connell is no joke.
No, he's a very good coach. It's very painful to say. It's a little painful to admit those things out loud. I will be honest about it. Now, as we talk about this Bears team and everything they have, maybe they're playing for. I mean, these guys are playing for jobs on Sunday too, right? They don't want to get cut. They don't want to see them maybe go to a different team. Maybe some of them do, but for the most part, they're trying to put on a performance for either the Bears or whatever team maybe comes along in the offseason. So let's talk about this Bears defense against this Packers offense. And I do have a question that I want to pose to you here today, because this Packers team has been a run-first team most of the year, right? Especially since Jordan Love got hurt in Game 1. And they implemented a lot of things with Malik Willis that they used while Jordan Love was down. They used that with Jordan Love as quarterback. But I would say to what demise, maybe a little bit, because they have really gone away from play action as an offense, and that is sort of Jordan Love's bread and butter. And for a lot of offenses, that is the quarterback's bread and butter, right? Gets them into rhythm, moves things along a little faster, gets guys open. But now, with the run game, it's like Matt LaFleur has kind of abandoned the play action, and Jordan Love is into this pattern of straight drop back passes. Not really his forte. Do you think this is something that has actually hurt his game? Maybe the accuracy, maybe guys getting open. I know that was a little bit of an issue last year as well. But do you think the lack of play action, and this is a conversation that I've heard in several different facets over the last week from Packers reporters on different podcasts, things like that. So I wanted your take on it. Is the lack of play action and the lean of the run game, is that something that's hurt this offense a little bit this year?
Well, I've heard that discussed, and I will say this. You could never, ever convince me that having a worse running game than whatever running game you have is a good thing, and it's going to help your offense in any way, shape, or form. So I think that is a stretch. What I've said, I think Matt LaFleur is struggling a little bit with trying to marry run and pass.
Yes.
And it is not because the run game is so darn good. It's how do I get that marriage to fit with such a really good run game? How do I emphasize one if the run is the go-to? Because I think this is a guy who clearly is used to having pass be the first and second and third option, and then we'll run it when we have to. But he has shown also a propensity to be willing to run the ball when it's working.
Yes.
But I think these are decisions he needs to make and make quick. And they're going to have a little self-scout here this week leading up to Bears, leading up to the postseason, and decide who they want to be. I know it's awfully late in the game, but they have the parts. So I think that, and it seems like the receivers and the drops, they've figured that out. Josh Jacobs is wonderful. Now, what I've seen a lot is, and I don't know, I haven't done a snap count on it, Maddie, but you probably would know better. It seems like when it's either shotgun or straight back when you pass.
Yes, yes.
And then you're handing off to Jacobs otherwise with some kind of chicanery draped around it with Jaden Reed and whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't think that's going to cut it, and I think that should be fairly apparent to Matt LaFleur that that's not going to cut it. What I think they need to do is get back to having Jordan Love under center, and you're going to do play action.
Yep.
But you've got to change tempo. You got to go up tempo at times. You've got to try to mix it up.
We look at the end of the Vikings game as a perfect example of what happened when they went up-tempo, mixing the pass with the run, because it is possible, and they showed us that there is a recipe for doing that at the end of the Vikings game.
Huddle or even no huddle. But you can vary. You can do it one series in the first quarter and come back to it later or not, just to give them different looks and try to be more aggressive with really scheme, I think, offensively, in addition to everything else. You can't just rely on the run to solve all your problems in the pass game, because you still got to execute.
Right.
The run's just affording you, ideally, better down and distance, and guys getting open sooner because they have to keep an eye on the run game, unless they load the box and go man-to-man and good luck.
Right. Do you think that Matt LaFleur, for maybe for the offensive line, has leaned on the run game a little bit more this season? Because this line is much better at run blocking than they are pass blocking right now. Do you think that maybe to protect Jordan Love a little bit, especially after that injury, he decided to maybe go more run than pass? These are thoughts that I've had go through my head just based on the talent of the team and where their strengths are.
Well, in baseball, they say the players make the lineup out, the manager doesn't, by who's hitting and all that. And I think it's fairly apparent. Josh Jacobs, the offense runs through Josh Jacobs.
Yes.
And Jacobs has been so good this season, one of the best in the league, that how could it not? How would you not?
Right.
But what has to happen is he's got to figure out a way to reestablish Jordan Love. I mean, the heck with Christian Watson and getting this guy involved. Get Jordan Love more involved, however
he's
you
your
make
guy.
That happen.
He's your 50.
And when he's on point, he's leading, Maddie.
Yeah.
Mostly, especially the receivers fall in line.
Yeah.
And I think they need to, however they get, you know, that's the switch that's got to be turned on with Jordan Love. Getting back to maybe a little more cut it loose, but his accuracy has been a problem. Now, they did, you know, you can learn from losses, and they did talk at length about him using his legs, apparently.
Yeah.
The coaches and him, should he run a little? Now, he tried, and they got him, but he waited too long.
Yeah.
Held on to the ball too long to throw it, too long to run it.
He's been hesitant this year to run, and you and I talked about that just a couple of weeks ago, because there are times when literally you're watching a game and he'll take off to run, then he stops, then he looks for a man to pass it to, then he kind of takes off, and you're screaming at your TV, just run, just because he's wide open at the first time that he's hesitant to go. And then by the time he makes the move to, you know, actually do it the second or third go around and it's in the thought process, it's too late. I mean, they've already covered him up. So he's been a little hesitant, especially more than last year, to do so. And I'm not sure if that, again, has to do with the injury or because Matt LaFleur has told him to try to stay closer to the pocket if necessary. I know last year, I mean, Matt LaFleur was pretty vocal in the fact that, you know, there were a couple times he took off running that he wasn't super happy with the fact that he had chosen to do that just because of the hits he took. So I don't know if all of that's in the back of Jordan Love's head or if this is just year two problems. And honestly, if this is what we're picking at, I don't think that these are the worst problems a team could have, but they have to definitely get figured out, and there has to be conversations behind closed doors so that they can, you know, put together a game plan that actually makes some sense and isn't just straight dropbacks every single time.
Well, I think, like, and people have questioned Jordan Love's judgment in terms of how do you know when to take that shot or not take the shot? Well, I think he's fine that way with the decision-making. Where he gets in trouble is when initially things aren't open and he doesn't have anyone to go to, still trying to hunt the big play.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of realizing fish or cut bait, it's time to get what you can. The Chiefs don't win those Super Bowls without Patrick Mahomes' legs every bit as much as his arm and his brain. You know, and you look at the best offenses from the Ravens to the Eagles to the Bills, Chiefs I mentioned. I mean, in the NFC, Darnold's at least sturdy enough to stay upright.
Right.
Kind of the same with Goff, but different styles. But I mean, really the most explosive offenses anyway, have a quarterback that will use his legs to move the chains. And, you know, I understand with Love's injury, a reluctance to want to do that, the temptation to hunt the big play, especially when you're throwing 24, 22 attempts a game.
Yeah.
You know, you want to make something happen eventually, and you might get a little antsy. But I do have a trust in LaFleur that they'll analyze all of this, and they're having the same discussions there that we are this morning. And we'll see how it shakes out.
Do you think this is just young quarterback problems and a sign of more maturity to come down the road? I mean, this is only year two. He's had some pretty good success for year two, or is decision making something that he should already have at this process?
I think this is still head coach and a quarterback getting on the same page.
Well, they're
a little
and
bit.
And
you
again,
know, because they haven't been, you know, they haven't had these roles that long together.
Right. And, that's what I was just going to say.
Yeah. I mean, we know LaFleur can coach. And you had touched on this, I think, earlier in the week when we talked, but how, you know, Malik Willis, we may see him Sunday. That's a possibility.
Sure.
For me, my perfect Sunday would be Jordan Love and the offense come out humming, take care of some business, and in the second half, you turn it over and let your offensive line maul the Bears and go away with a really good feeling.
Yep.
And Malik Willis and everyone's good vibe, and then you head into the playoffs and you take your best shot. That would be the perfect way to go. But no doubt they have really relied on the run game. It's made the offensive line better. Because a year ago, Maddie, it was the converse. It was, yeah, they pass block pretty darn well. They can't run block worth a lick.
Right.
But either way, you got problems because they haven't been able to score points in the first half this year, lately anyway, like they were last year when they were.
Except now it's just the opposite.
Exactly. Yep.
They're just, they just flipped the script this year on us. Now, I do want to talk a little bit quickly before we talk about the defensive side of the ball, about the drop situation. And Jordan Love, actually, he never throws his receivers under the bus, but he did allude to it after the game on Sunday that guys just need to start doing more to get open. And then we talk a little bit about the drops, right? Like you look at Jaden Reed, who I thought was going to have a much better season, honestly, but his collegiate drop rate was just over 8%. Right now in the league, he's sitting at almost 16%. So it is nearly doubled since when he was in college. He had a 4.5% drop rate last year, and this year he's sitting at just about 16%. I'll say that again, 16. So that, I mean, is that coaching? Is that just the fact that now he is commanding more attention out there because of the numbers he put up last year and people know what he's capable of doing? Or is this just a, because sometimes you hear about the sophomore slump, right? In the NFL, guys come out in their first year as a rookie, they put up some really big numbers, they do a lot of stuff, then all of a sudden there's tape on them, so the second year it's not so great. We've seen this a little bit with maybe CJ Stroud this year as well with the Texans, right? But it happens in multiple positions throughout the league. So you got to wonder, is this a sophomore slump? Is this a coaching thing? Is this Jaden Reed? Maybe not. I don't know. I don't know what the explanation is. So I'm going to defer to you. What would you make of his drop situation right now?
Well, I'm thinking of two players who are sophomores, and I don't know that the Jaden Reed sophomore slump, Tucker Kraft, who the other guy had mentioned, the thing they have in common, they're both second-year players.
Yep.
They're both second-year pros. They're both guys who I think are very, very talented and very, very much a big part of the Packers' success. Their best games, invariably, Tucker Kraft and or Jaden Reed step forward somehow, some way, and then the rest falls into place. And who are the two guys, Matt, if I had to ask you, that are best suited and most in a position to be really critical to melding run and pass in the offense? Josh Jacobs, the run game and the pass game. Well, it's Tucker Kraft, I think, with his run blocking and the passing, because he can catch it and block, and Jaden Reed, who runs it and catches it.
Yep.
Those are the two bridges to get that thing solidified that LaFleur's got a key on. You got it. You know you're going to have Jacobs, and I think he's looking at it kind of, this is just a guess, but starting, okay, the offense is going to run through Josh Jacobs, but that doesn't mean you start every discussion with, okay, Josh is going to do A, B, and C, and now what do we do?
Right.
I think it's the other way, and I think, again, the tight end and the